Funny how little it takes to throw a person off. Just standing in a little different place and whatever can confuse me quite easily, so be patient with me today. Our scripture text this week is the same as it was last week, Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 through 20 again, and I suspect that churches around the world are probably focusing on these verses along with us. To some extent this morning. I want to remind you that this is a specific time of year when we focus on the birth of our Savior, but don't let that diminish in your mind at any time of the year. A couple years ago, I think it was, at preaching at the Lodge, I had them singing Christmas songs in August. They thought it a little strange at first, but we got over that, and it was good to praise the Lord. Considering the birth of our Savior in August as well. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one unto another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. They came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Our gracious Heavenly Father, there is a joy in reading these passages of Scripture. There is a sense of wonder, certainly, as we consider it. And Lord, as we consider your word this morning, and as I've been rolling this thought through my mind for several weeks, the tune, a secular tune, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Lord, I would that you would speak to us through your word today, that this time together would not be lost in the familiarity of these words, but rather that jewels would be revealed as we dig deep into your word. And so, Lord, in order for that to be the case, it's necessary for you to hide your servant behind the cross, speak through these lips of clay, and bring to the forefront of our minds the great gift and the value and the purpose of sending your Son. And so, Lord, we commit this to you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the way the Lord works, and he's masterful in it. And the reason I say that is because he's this great orchestrator, and he puts things together. And I recognize that clearly because I am the worst at orchestrating and organizing things. My wife would agree with that. Whenever something needs to be done in an organized manner, I'm very much dependent upon her to help with that, or just to do it completely, to be honest with you. So God orchestrates stuff, and he puts things together, and we benefit from it. That's the amazing thing, is how we benefit from what the Lord does. Just this morning now, in the young people putting together their program, there were things that were said in there that have been on my heart and in my mind. The choir singing Wonder of Wonders. And I've been thinking about this idea as we hear people say, this is the most wonderful time of the year. And the reality is, for many people, it is not the most wonderful time of the year. We talked about it last week, that the shepherds now go forth glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd seen and heard. And if you have any thought in your mind that everything from that day forward was, to quote the Greek, hunky-dory, I think would be foolishness. We live in a broken, fallen world. And throughout the course of any 24-hour period of time, without the course of any 7-day week or any month or any year, you're going to suffer through hardship and trial and tribulation. These are the promises of God that are yea and amen. Jesus said, they've hated me, they'll hate you. So as Christians, we don't go forward thinking everything's going to come up roses. And I stated last week, I don't think these shepherds went forward and every ewe had 2 lambs and every time they went to market it was a high price and every pasture was green and all the water was still and the Shepherds Association put together a 401k so that they could retire early. I don't think that kind of thing happened. But still they were praising and glorifying God because they had received this peace in Christ with God. So I don't think it's a realistic thing to say this is the most wonderful time of the year. However, what I want to focus on today is what we read as the response to the shepherd's message of all that they had seen and heard. And it's verse 18. Luke 2, verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I want to think about that. That they wondered about it. And is this the most wonderful time of the year? And in order to help us understand that, I've asked a number of people to come forward, and we're going to present in song, What Child Is This? And as we do this, I want you to listen to the song that we sing for you, because the title is a question, okay? And I think this quite possibly could be some of the wonder in those who heard, and quite probably for the shepherds. What child is this? Richard II. That's an inside joke. Now, if I can get this back here without hurting myself. We keep singing together and doing this, we're going to eventually have Rhonda standing up. It's going to be great. Yeah. You want to make sure and turn my mic off. Yeah.
Here, for sinners here, the Son. Christ, the King.
In the song, it's largely a question. It's largely a matter of wondering. It's largely a matter of coming across something that is so outside the bounds of your thinking, so magnanimous that you really can't get your head around it. That's what wonder is. The word is thamazo, and it is this idea of to marvel at something. And I can't help but think that the angels, when they came and proclaimed this to the shepherds, that the shepherds who were overtaken with this great sense of fear and then reasoned among themselves, they talked among themselves and decided to go with haste to see this thing which the Lord had done, there must have been a sense of wonder. There must have been a sense in their minds that, what is this? How is this? Can this possibly be? And yet then we would ask ourselves the question, upon their going, was it a lack of faith that caused them to go? Were they like Thomas who said, I'll believe when I stick my fingers in the wounds? Was it a lack of faith? And I think not. Them going was the evidence of faith. That they went to see this thing which God had done. That they went to see this sign which was for them. And they responded and went and told others and praised God. What child is this? A sense of wonder is how the people responded to their message. Turn with me to two other passages of Scripture that I want to flesh out this word thaumazo, to marvel or to wonder at greatly. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8. And we're going to focus on verse 25, but I want to pick up with verse 22. Luke chapter 8, beginning with 22. And it came to pass on a certain day that he went into the ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. And as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said unto them, Where's your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. You see how it's tied together there? There's fear, there's wonder, there's questions. Who is he? What manner of man is this? What child is this who lays in this manger bed where ox and ass are feeding? There's questions there. There's wonder. There are things outside of their capability to understand. Turn with me also to Luke chapter 11, and we'll begin with verse 14. Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said he casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils, and others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. And he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them. You see it there? Wonder, questions, having been confronted with something so profound, so glorious, so magnanimous, that they couldn't fully comprehend it. What I want you to know today is whether you've heard the voice of angels speaking on God's behalf, or maybe you've heard a pastor pronounce the gospel, or maybe a neighbor has shared God's word with you, or perhaps a Sunday school program has presented it. And maybe today, as you had heard it, maybe it was for the first time, and you're in awe, you're in wonder, you marvel at what God has said. I want to make this point to you today. Standing in wonder at what God has done is not your salvation. It wasn't the shepherds, and it wasn't those to whom they talked to. And even when Jesus did things, people were in wonder of it and accused him to have a devil. Standing in wonder of what God has done is not your salvation. Responding to what God has done is. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Familiar passage of scripture, and I want you to know that that what I'm preaching today does not delineate from what scripture has said, but rather clarifies, hopefully within our hearts and minds, what it means to receive Christ. Romans chapter 10, the familiar passage for all of us, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's true. Whether you've heard the message from the voice of a child or an angel, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's no question to that, and there's no way that we can get around that. But if we take Romans chapter 10, if you read it in its entirety, Paul is talking to the idea that the Jewish people had largely rejected Christ and that the message went out to the Gentiles. The issue that Paul is confronting here is that everyone has heard the message, but not everyone has responded. I will make this statement to you, and it's one that needs to be taken in very carefully, but the statement is this: the gospel is not for all men. The gospel is for every man who will respond. You have to take that whole statement, because the gospel has gone out, but only some have responded. Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Just as the shepherds had proclaimed it to everyone they came in contact with, the beginning of the evangelical movement, if I can put it that way, these people heard, they wondered, but according to Scripture, not everybody has responded. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are not of people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I have found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Yes, the word has gone forth, and you have heard the message before, I am sure. If you have been in attendance in this church, you have heard it from the pulpit. If you have Christian friends that are bold enough to share the gospel, you've heard it from them. You've heard it from children today in a Christmas program that was so very, very plain. and you have heard it in songs that we have sung. Hark, the herald angels sing, that is riddled with theology. Everyone has heard, but not everyone has responded. You see, that is the message of the gospel. God has provided all things in Christ Jesus, and he has provided that for all men. There is no one who has sinned too little that they don't need him. There is no one who has sinned too much that he would not save them. This message is for all men, but it is only productive for those who receive. I was thinking about all the different passages of Scripture that require us to respond. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the will of the Father is not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's a response. When we had our back to God, hearing the message, the proper response, the necessary response, is that you turn again and face him to receive Christ as your Savior. No, repentance is an absolute response that is necessary. In our Sunday school program this morning, it was read for John chapter 1 and verse 12. But for those who receive and believe him, he gives the right to become the sons of God. Staying in Romans chapter 10, if we backed up to verse 8 and began to read there, and these are familiar verses, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that's a response, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that too is a response, then thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. That too is a response. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we have to be clear that it doesn't begin with us. Ours is a response to what God is doing. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus would make these words known, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden." That too is a response. Jesus would say in John chapter 6, verse 44, that no one comes to him unless the Father draws him. We respond to the wonder of what God has done. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse 20, the church of the Laodiceans, it is there where Jesus says, as that window depicts, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, respond, then I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me." Acts chapter 17 and verse 27, Paul was speaking to the Athenians, and these people were ignorantly worshiping an unknown God, and it is Christ that he came to declare unto them. Here is the gospel being preached. And Paul would say, if you would seek after him and find him, although he's standing very near to every one of you. Response. 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 You see, the shepherds heard the word of God from the mouths of angels, and they were in wonder over it. And they reasoned among themselves, and I wonder if anybody said, "Oh, well, we've heard the voice of God. That's good enough for me." Yep, heard the message. And on I go. I have sheep to tend to, you know. I have a beard I need to trim. I probably do need to trim my beard, but that's a whole other subject. I wonder if there was any of that kind of reasoning as they stood in wonder, having heard all that God had said. But you see, they weren't satisfied with that. We've heard the voice of God. He said there was a sign for us and we would find it in the manger in Bethlehem. Let's go now with haste, For this was their appointed day unto salvation. This was the day of the Lord. And for someone here, this may be your day. Maybe you've been hearing it your whole life, but you have never responded to that which God has done. Today is your day to respond to the Word of God. The disciples left everything to follow Jesus. It wasn't enough to have seen him. It wasn't enough to have heard him. But they wanted to follow closely this Savior, this King, this one called Jesus. What of you? What of you? What child is this? What do you call him? He's the Savior of the world. For those who will respond, for those who will respond to the wonder of what he has done, what of you? Perhaps today, for the first time, God has spoken directly to your heart. You have understood about Jesus. You've read Scripture. You know of Jesus. As the Sunday school children presented, maybe Jesus is still something in your past. Maybe that Jesus is a historical figure, and other people throughout the countless ages have called him these things. But what about now? What about today? What about you? Who do you say that he is? And have you responded by faith to receive Christ Jesus? Two young people in our congregation involved in an accident that if not for the grace of God, could have claimed their lives. You think you have tomorrow? You don't have tomorrow. Today is the acceptable day of the Lord to respond to what he has done and then go on living in wonder of all that he has done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the most wonderful time of the year. Lord, I stand in awe of who you are, that you would send your Son, that he would humble himself and come to this earth as a servant, and that he would go obediently to the cross to pay the penalty for not the sins of the world, but my sin. That he would value me so highly that, Lord, you would send your Son and that you would put upon him the penalty for my sin so that I might go free. I wonder at that. I, like the Apostle Paul, desire to know the height, the length, the depth, and the breadth of your love for me. But, Lord, I confess it goes beyond my understanding. The idea that salvation came wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger in Bethlehem, for me, giving me opportunity to hear the word, to recognize who you are and who I am and my great need, and then, Lord, to respond to it. And so it's not enough to stand in wonder. We must respond. Through repentance and coming to you, Lord, and asking you into our heart, confessing, Lord, that you are the Savior and I am the sinner in this story, that I need you desperately, that I cannot earn my way. It is not of works, lest any man would boast. I cannot earn stature or status with you, but Lord, you have come to save. And you've sought me out and you stood at the door of my heart. giving me opportunity to open that door and welcome you in. Lord, I pray over this congregation, if there are those here today who have a head knowledge of Christ but not a personal relationship with him, that, Lord, you would soften their hearts, and even right now they would pray a sinner's prayer, confessing that they are sinners in need of a Savior, repenting of their sin, and asking you to come and to dwell in their heart, that they might call you Lord. Let it be so. Move upon your people, Lord, for this is the day, this is the hour, this is the time. And then, Lord, give them a boldness to confess the name of Jesus. A boldness, Lord, to share with others that they've received Christ, that they're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away, all things have become new, and that, Lord, they have a living hope in your resurrection as their Savior and as their Lord. May it be so as we pray these things in the power of Jesus' name. Amen.